Aren't we also interested in expanding solar power?
Well, you're right to say that there is a conflict. There are two very good state goals. One is the renewable energy targets that the state has set out, and that is absolutely a good goal to try and work towards. But the state also has an established statutory goal of preservation of a certain amount of acreage of prime farmland soils. And those two policies are in conflict with each other. So what the state should be doing is looking at alternative incentives. So grading any type of tax relief according to the types of soils that are being impacted, like Massachusetts does, putting it along rights of ways or municipal buildings or parking structures, already constructed facilities, like Massachusetts does. Instead, we have these two policies that are in conflict with each other, and the state's position thus far is to simply let the policies duke it out with each other, and inevitably, the solar side is winning to the detriment of the preservation of prime farmland soils. So there are conflicting goals, but what I'm advocating for through my legislator is to kind of refocus where renewable energy projects are located so that those policies are not in conflict with each other. Rooftop solar,
Is there
canopies.
and there are models.
Oh yeah, Massachusetts is 15, 20 years ahead of us. Vermont is 10 years ahead of us. We are simply, we're well, honestly, we're taking a laissez-faire approach to the establishment of these developments.
Thank
And
you.
we can't control our own destiny, which is a big part of it. I mean, I get the notion that you can't let, not in my backyard, dictate how development happens, but you're talking 1,000 acres in my little town. That's a big percentage. Anyway, again, I can get on a rant about this. I can do this, two shows a week.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
And you're spot on, Jason. I mean, they shouldn't be in conflict, and there are plenty of alternatives to taking up agricultural land with these solar arrays. Plenty of rooftop, plenty of toxic sites that have pavement over them. I mean, much better places.
On the back of Mount Trashmore in Hartford, the big landfill. You can't see it from the highway, but on the back side of that is solar panels. That's fine. But sucking up farmland is noticed. Anyway, I'm happy to talk about this. I can do this until tomorrow. So however long you guys want to talk about this issue, I'm happy to. But if we want to move on to one of the others, that would be fine too.
Okay, so the permitting of large solar facilities sounds like the consensus for including that on the list. And I'm going to look to the language that CCM developed just for purposes of our draft. Rob, can
HB
you?
6764 is a good benchmark for that too.
Okay. Rob, can you give us an update on speed and red light cameras? And then maybe Lisa, you can speak to state funding for public schools after Rob.
Sure. Last year's legislative session allowed red light running cameras and automated speed enforcement in certain circumstances. And that public act went into effect in October 1st of this year. But the act required DOT to issue guidance, I think, by the end of this calendar year. That is the schedule they have to issue the guidance on the rules of the game for red light, for installing them, getting the okay to install these types of devices. I have a presentation here that maybe I'll just share my screen briefly without going into too much detail. If I'm not sure if I, let me see if I can share.
I probably need to stop on my end. Oh.
Did that work?
Yes.
Okay, this is a presentation that DOT gave to all the COGS. I'm not sure if there were others present, but as mentioned, their final guidance is not out yet. It should be out by the end of this month. So that'll have all the rules of the game for if you wish to participate in ATESDs, Automated Traffic Enforcement Safety Devices, which are, and I can show you in this slide, I don't know if you can see it, but here's the four types that you can install. Traffic control signals for red light running. So that's, you know, ticketing for running the red lights. Speeding in only in three areas: pedestrian safety zones, school zones, and then I don't quite understand the other locations for speeding. Maybe that has to be a proven area or something like that. As mentioned, the rules of the game aren't fully fleshed out yet. But there's a lot to consider that you might not have thought of. You know, there's equity considerations that DOT has to take into account. This is going to be approved and enforced through OSTA at DOT, who usually handles, you know, developments coming in and their impacts to traffic. And Joe Ouellette is the head of OSTA over there. So here it says CONDOT is going to provide guidance to municipalities by the first of the year. And what the guidance will include, the factors for selecting locations, you have to provide this information to them, as I understand it, for their review and approval. They're going to look at various things, but it does get complex, and I'm not the expert on this. Roger Cron has been bird dogging this for us, and he's a valuable resource. And if you want to go into detail with it, I would suggest giving him a call, or calling me, and I can get you in contact with him. But he's always open to talk about it. He sent information up to Windsor and others. And but just to give you an idea of some of the, you know, look, selection criteria, you have to, you know, what's your average daily traffic, what's your roadway geometry, you know, all these kinds of engineering things have to be taken into consideration, crash history, your rationale for why this is a location. There's all kinds of other things to consider, like revenue collection, and there are things in the regs. I know around the country a lot of these companies are rolling this out full service, where they come into your town and they say, hey, we can install these and we're going to collect a portion of the revenue. Apparently, that's not allowed in Connecticut under this legislation. So I'm not sure what models these firms have that might fit Connecticut. That was one question we had to DOT, and DOT said, we have the legislation we were dealt with that you can't do that. But I know that's a one-stop shopping for towns and other in other states that allow this, is the firm just comes in, and of course it's, you know, profit driven, their incentive to put these up, but yet, you know, there's all kinds of ethical issues with that, and you know, a private company finding people and collecting a portion of that. But there are, you know, checks and balances in built in where did I lose everybody? There's checks and balances, but there's a lot of details here, which I'm sure you know it, guys. I'll bore you with them if I go into them. So I'll stop right there. And if I have answers to questions, I'll have them, but I'd have to refer you to Roger if I don't.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rob. You know, I think one of the main points that was raised last time is really what's the status? Where is the DOT at? So it looks like they're still on schedule to provide their guidance by January 1.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. And in terms of getting into the details, et cetera, you know, we'll be doing that with our transportation committee, correct?
Yeah. Roger's going to give an update at this month's transportation committee for the 60 seconds for safety. But when the full guidance comes out, we'll dig into it and maybe even get Joe Ouellette to present at one of our meetings.
Excellent. Excellent. And every town here, I think, has an active representative at the transportation committee, which is good.
Lisa, do you want to talk education funding?
Sure. I mean, this is, I mean, absent a revolutionary reform in how we fund our schools, I think we just need to continue to demand full funding for the special education excess cost grants. That's not a new thing for us to advocate for, or many organizations across the state, but I just want to make sure it stays on the agenda for us.
Would there be an appetite amongst the group to revisit the excess cost formula?
I whatever we can do that would make a difference. You know, even what exists isn't fully funded.
Well, and I agree that that's a priority area. In my community, we're at a disadvantage because of our small school population. With the I think it's four or four and a half times the per pupil expenditure before excess cost kicks in. I'd love to see that multiplier come down and have the state pick it up, you know, at a lower percentage, because our budget gets eviscerated when we have two high cost students move into the district in October. We're just checkmated.
I mean, that each student could represent over $100,000.
Right.
And that's a huge hit. So I would support that, Jason.
Do we have anybody on who can talk about Senator Rahman's car tax proposal?
I don't think so. Steve wasn't able to join us today, but again, I'm trying to, I'll be able to meet with him before our next meeting on December 21st. Should be able to make that happen.
Meet with Steve or meet with MD?
Well, it's going to be, the two of us are going to meet with him. Okay. You know, the concern obviously that towns have is, all right, if this tax goes away, or if we have a very low mill rate statewide, you know, how are you going to make us whole? Kathy, I don't know if you can comment on it at all. You're muted. Nope, yeah, there you go.
No, I'm sorry. I don't have anything updated on that at all. I can reach out and see where he is on those specifics.
Okay. And then the funding for the maintenance of multi-use trails. I don't know if any of the members in attendance today are grappling with that issue.
I don't have one in my community, but I support it.
We may have an issue here. We've really recently done an evaluation of our parks and recs for ADA accessibility, and it's going to cost us millions to make our trails accessible. And I'm wondering if there might not be some kind of resource to assist with that.
Tony, this is Chris from Berlin. We actually got a grant. The town purchased a defunct golf course, and we ended up getting money from DEEP to make some of our trails handicapped accessible. And that was both length, pitch, that kind of thing. I saw Kimberly from DEEP at the CCM conference at the casino, and I believe they're going to be announcing funding quite a bit for trails for communities after the first of the year. So I would say keep an eye on that. I think they're definitely looking to spread the money around to a number of communities. And I know, again, we had luck literally taking what was literally a cart path of a golf course and making it handicapped accessible. So I think from what we saw, they were very behind that. So I would say look at that avenue if they come out with the NOFA or whatever they call it at DEEP.
Thanks, Chris.
No problem.
Fred and then Lisa.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Were you finished? I'm sorry, Chris, did you have something else?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So Fred and then Lisa, please.
Yep. Thanks, Jason. Just in terms of the trails maintenance, the Putnam Bridge Trail has caused us to try to react, because we, DOT's basically said the maintenance of all that is on us, which is, you know, fine for plowing and things like that. But our issue is that the approach up to Putnam Bridge involves an incredibly steep slope that we are supposed to mow or weed whack on a regular basis. And it's led us to the point where we had to buy a $70,000 piece of equipment just to be able to handle that slope. And DOT was like, oh, that's on you. You know, there's nothing we can do about that, but you have to maintain that and you have to keep it the way it's supposed to be. And we didn't really have any kind of input on design or anything like that. So as they do those types of projects, I think there should be some consideration of maintenance as opposed to just throwing it at the towns to do that. So what it's worth.
Thanks, Fred. Lisa, and then Matt.
Thanks. The maintenance of the deep money that's going to be made available, I kind of lost some of the conversation there. Is that specifically to target accessibility or just in general for trails, trail maintenance?
Chris, I think, hopped on another call, but it sounded to me like it was general trail maintenance.
And so that's a separate pot of money from what is, has, so there are usually grants available to towns related to open space or related to trail maintenance. Is this a new pot, or are they putting more money into it? I mean, my understanding is that DEEP has a lot of extra money floating around right now, so that would be great. Like federal dollars that they haven't yet spent.
I'm not sure that Chris is available to answer that question for you, Lisa.
Okay. I could probably ask it over dinner tonight. The other question is, when we first looked at this bullet point earlier in this meeting, it was referencing multi-use trails. So are we looking at also concerns, you know, state-owned or federal trails going through multiple towns? Right? And we find ourselves responsible for maintaining those. You know, out here we have not only East Coast Greenway, but we also have the Hop River Trail, which goes through several towns. Thanks.
Matt?
Thank you. So the issue, as we're pointing to, it's maintenance. It's not design and construction, because there are state and federal funding sources for that. So raising an old idea that could be worth looking at. We used to talk about regional assets, right? Designating certain things as regional assets. And if the state could identify a funding source, maybe a percentage of the sales tax, you know, to assist with O&M, because that's what we're struggling with, right? It's not the design and construction costs so much. It's the O&M for these linear parks. So, you know, would that be worth flagging at least for review? You know, we could have multiple categories in this agenda. You know, we could have a list of what we see as top priorities that we really want to focus on in the short session. And then we could have other sections where we're bringing issues more to the legislature's attention for review, analysis, et cetera. So if the committee's amenable, you know, we could add this item to the list, probably in that secondary category.
That makes sense.
My recollection is that's what we've done in the last few years too.
Yes. Yeah. Because in a short session, I'm guessing that, you know, that could be really hard to get through, and Kathy can speak to that. But you know, sometimes good ideas take multiple sessions.
The sidewalk and the multi-use trail issue has been something that people have contemplated for a while. The DOT considers, you know, even if a sidewalk is on their state right-of-way, not a regional transportation asset, but a local transportation asset, and that the town has to maintain it. So that's the heart of the issue, is are there, you know, now that DOT is incorporated some more complete streets guidelines into their way of doing business, it has that paradigm shifted to where certain facilities should be considered regional or statewide and be maintained by DOT.
Or assist the provide the towns with some revenue, you know,
right,
to handle the responsibility.
Yeah, I was going to chime in there and say, I mean, funding for maintenance, operations and maintenance of a multi-use trail along a state road would be great. But I mean, jeepers, we're having a hard enough time getting funding for the construction of a much needed multi-use trail along a state road. This, you know, something we'd love to see DOT step up and kind of just do, because it's a, you know, state agency agreed to need, let alone, you know, I mean, we would probably gladly take over operations and maintenance if we could just get the upfront funding to get it constructed. So we're struggling just at the front end of all this.
Other comments?
So is there consensus to at least flag this issue?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. So did you want to go over the items from the Municipal Services Committee quickly?
Sure.
Okay, I'll bring that up again. Trying to advance my slides. Can people see that okay?
Yep.
All right, so again, the potential for further amendments to CMERS, or at a minimum, making sure that the Comptroller's task force will be active, will remain active. Amendments to the prevailing wage requirements, and then amendments to the statute on competitive bidding.
What are they looking to amend for the competitive bidding requirements?
I think to raise the threshold to require. I'm sorry, the requirement is for sealed bids. So to raise the monetary threshold for sealed bids. I think it's set at 25,000, and it's been like that for a long, long time.
Does that include? I haven't read that statute. Does that include for anybody that's on the state bid list, or sole sourced, or Sourcewell, or the CROG list? I mean, do they still have to go for an open competitive bid if they're already vetted?
I don't believe so, but it's worth looking at that a little further. This is a statute that probably flies under the radar a bit, and many towns may not even be aware of it. And again, it's only for towns that have an ordinance regulating competitive bidding.
Can I ask a question about this?
Yeah.
Has there been a pattern of the states raising these minimum requirements in order to account for inflation over the past decade or so?
You know, Jason, Kathy may be in the best position to speak to that. I think, Tony, sometimes, you know, we just forget statutes that are on the books, and it's only when they're brought to the legislature's attention again, right, that those adjustments are made.
Because if there's a history, this one should be easy, relatively easy. But I don't know what the history is.
I'm looking up the legislative history now.
It looks like it was raised once before from 7,500 to 25,000.
I think that was quite a few years ago, right?
Yeah, a long, long time ago.
Maybe 1989. I'm not sure.
Yeah, a long time ago.
So this could be a matter of just raising it, bringing it to their attention.
I would hope that this would be a technical amendment, basically. But I think that Mansfield would be opposed to changing prevailing wage requirements in any substantial way. And we would be nervous about MERS amendments as well. Even though they cost us money, they set a standard of living in our community, which we support.
As far as the MERS amendments goes, just to, I know we have a certain in-house expert on this that I can consult with, but as far as the establishment of a new tier, which has been discussed, was the latest, I guess, vision for that, that it would be members would have the local option to participate or shift into that tier for new employees? Or would it be required, I guess, all new employees, all members would kind of, I don't want to say be forced upon, but would be forced upon? Does anybody know?
As I understand it, it would be at local option. You know, it's part of the CCM platform, I believe. But thinking about it actuarially, that might be a challenge for CMERS to administer.
Yeah, I would echo what Tony says. You know, for us, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You know, the cost of participating in the program, obviously, you know, we as managers have to be very mindful about the financial sustainability and the money that we commit to it annually. At the same time, as Tony said, you know, we all talk a lot about workforce development, recruitment and retention of the best employees out there, and diluting the value of that benefit certainly, you know, works against us from that standpoint. So it really is a double-edged sword.
I think we lost Brock. New Britain's also a CMERS town, I believe. I was going to call on him, but I don't think he's in the meeting anymore.
Sounds to me that if there isn't broad consensus on CMERS or the prevailing wage changes, then we probably should leave those off for this year.
Okay.
Are there any other items that any of the committee members have that should be considered?
I did want to recognize Cheryl Assis from our team because she staffs the Capital Region Chiefs of Police Association, and they have their own legislative agenda. Wanted to see if there was anything they're working on that we may want to co-endorse.
Yep, thanks, sure. Matt. And Matt had asked me to check in with the chiefs, and I heard back yesterday. So the main thing I think that they're looking at is the ability to charge in a limited capacity for the FOIA requests for body-worn camera or dash cam footage. So those would be fees for, you know, copying, reviewing, redacting the records created by these, either the body cams or the dash cams. This was in front of the legislature last year, but it did die in committee. So that's something that they're really supporting this year and would like us to co-endorse for them if possible.
Any comments or feedback on that? So I'll just ask, is that something that should be done through a COG, or is that something that should be done through CCM? It's got statewide implications.
I don't know if it's part of CCM's platform. We could certainly look into that.
I do not believe it is, nor did it come up in the legislative committee that I can recall.
Well, we could confirm that. We could check with CCM and cost. So thank you for that, Cheryl.
Thank you. And
Rob continues to stay in touch with the DOT to see if they're going to have any legislative proposals. They had some pretty extensive ones last year, you know, the Vision Zero bill in particular. I think they tend to target the longer session for those. We're not sure yet if they're going to have anything for the short session. Correct, Rob?
They thought that I think they will have some of the Vision Zero items that were not passed last year still on. I don't know the extent of it. And then there were some that were more contentious, and I'm not sure if they're going to pursue the blood alcohol limit. But I do not know right now. But I did hear that some of them will still be in their agenda.
Okay. And maybe we'll get that before our meeting on the 21st?
I hope so, but so far I haven't gotten any promises.
So when I was chief of staff at the Department of Agriculture, we put our legislative package together and I have to get reviewed by OPM and the governor's office before it could get released. And that typically was only a week or two before the start of the session. I don't know if the Lamont administration has been more expedient with that, but I know when I was a state agency employee, we were under a gag order.
Definitely feels like they're under a gag order. I heard their legislative person is working physically over at the Capitol, not just at DOT, like they're splitting time. And apparently a lot of the departments are doing that. I think
Is that Don? Is that Don Marzik?
I don't recognize that name.
No, somebody else now. So we'll continue to stay in touch with the DOT, and you know, when they have their program, when they're willing to share it or able to share it, we'll share it with the committee and see if there's anything you want to endorse. So Jason, we do have one more meeting on the books, and that's for 1 p.m. on December 21st. You know, we can see where we are then, if we need another meeting or not, because we do want to submit this to the full policy board for the board's review and endorsement at their meeting at the end of January. So, you know, we've got room. The policy board will meet on January 24th. So we've got room for another meeting, understanding it can be a challenge with the holidays, et cetera. I don't think we'd try to squeeze in another one in December, but maybe in early January if needed.
So just thinking about what happens after the policy committee signs off on the package, that's when you and Kathy and I'd be happy to do it, any others, would have to quickly get meetings on the books with the committee chairs of Cognizance, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's only about 10 days before the start of the session.
Right. I would suggest putting in the requests for some of the meetings now, particularly Rojas, as well as committee chairs. And if you like, I can start that process.
I would like you to do that, please. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if we could meet with the labor co-chairs, Kathy. You know, we weren't able to do that last year.
Right. Lisa, I had the distinct impression last year that they did not want to have a meeting on those topics, but certainly making the request. I mean, that may well end up being, like I think, Matt, we tried to do last year, you being there, trying to grab her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will do that.
Lisa, your hand is up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I would be very interested in joining you at those meetings or trying to grab people.
I think that would be great.
Thanks.
So in terms of next steps, what I can do for December 21st is I'll put all this into a draft document that I'll circulate in advance of the meeting. But I forgot to hit record until late into the meeting. I don't know if you noticed that. So I want to make sure, if I could just quickly go down my list, make sure I have the homework assignments correct, the to-do items. So when we were talking about apprenticeships, we want to add child care workers to that list, child care, preschool. There's a tax abatement statute related to preschool facilities that we want to look into further for potential inclusion in the list as well. One that I missed, I apologize. There was a little conversation on cannabis regulation, I believe. Lisa, did you raise that one?
No, but I think
that was Tony raised
it. Oh, that was I'm sorry.
It wasn't just cannabis. It was the regulations that require that no member of the household have any criminal record in order to have an in-home child care.
Okay.
And that there's a whole panoply of regulations about in-home child care that makes it almost impossible for an inner city family to have in-home daycare. And it includes things like space regulations and building codes and so on. So it's very complicated. And I don't have a clear idea of what the solution is, but we absolutely need to look at what those regulations are.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. So we will do that.
And the same thing is true for school bus drivers, by the way.
Okay. And then
given the real need for bus drivers these days, that might also be something we look at.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then we had the regulation of solar facilities, you know, expanding the local role. We want to add that to the list. State funding for schools. State funding for schools, in particular for special ed, we wanted to add that to the list. The competitive bidding statute, just flagging that for the legislature's attention. The FOIA bill that the chiefs of police are seeking, we're going to check with CCM and COST to get their opinions on it. And we're going to continue to track the DOT's legislative program. That's what I have for to-do items.
I think that's right. Anything anybody noticed was missing? I think you're good, Matt.
Great. So I think that's everything
else we had. All right. Thank you very much to you, Matt, and to your staff for their work putting this together, and to the committee members for bringing some really thoughtful, open-minded ideas to the table.
Thank you all so much. Enjoy the rest of the day and the rest of the week.
You as well.
Bye.